thinking. And I just feel really impressed. I probably should go to Hawaii. I believe that's where I'm from. Wouldn't that be nice?
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel chapter 24. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Dear Lord, we pray, God, that you'd help us. Dear Heavenly Father, you know exactly what needs to be said and done. I pray that you'd have mercy upon us tonight and help us. Dear God, that we would take heed to the Word of God. God, that we would obey what your Word says. Dear God, I pray for those that are lost, that you'd reveal to them their lost condition. God, that they would tremble before a holy God. Lord, that their terrors would be great. God, that they would repent and believe on Jesus Christ. God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ for all these things. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel 24. Ezekiel 24. All right, I think that's good. The Bible says, again in the ninth year, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, write thee the name of the day. Even to this same day, the king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day, and utter a parable unto the rebellious house, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Set on a pot, set it on, and also pour water into it. Gather the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with the choice bones. Take the choice of the flock, and burn also the bones under it, that it make it boil well. And let them see the bones of it therein. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is therein, and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece, let no lot fall upon it. For her blood is in the midst of her, she set it upon the top of her rock. She poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust, that it might cause fury to come up to take vengeance. I have set her blood upon the top of a rock, that it should not be covered. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city! I will even make the pile of fire great. Heap on wood, kindle the fire, consume the flesh, and spice it well, and let the bones be burned. Then set it empty upon the coals thereof, that the brass of it may be hot and may burn, and that the filthiness of it may be molten in it, that the scum of it may be consumed. She hath wearied herself with lies, and her great scum went not forth out of her. Her scum shall be in the fire, and thy filthiness is lewdness, because I have purged thee, and thou wast not purged. Thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness any more, till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken it, it shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. I want to call your attention to another passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. He says this, verse 6, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And that's all I'm going to read in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, God is plainly showing us that if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you will endure chastisement. You will. And there's many people that think that they can go on living in sin and doing whatever they want to do. And you mark this one thing down for sure. If you are saved by the grace of Almighty God, you will not live in sin without being chastened of God. He says, I believe it's over in the book of Romans, maybe 4, 6, one of those. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's what the Bible says. How can you who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Whenever you died, whenever Jesus died, you got saved, you died with him. Whenever he got buried, you got buried with him. When he got resurrected, you got resurrected unto new life, and you've been given a new creature in Jesus Christ, and you no longer live a lifestyle of sin. And if you try to, you'll receive the chastening hand of God. Now we see some people that live any way they want to. The Bible teaches us that if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, then you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your members, which are God's. That's what God said.
That's right.
You're supposed to glorify God. You're no longer yours. You're bought with a price.
Yeah.
These
right.
people that run around and they think that they can live any way they want to, they can act any way they want to, they can dress any way they want to, they can talk any way they want to, they can listen to whatever they want to, watch whatever they want to, hang around with all the ungodliness in this world and take pleasure in it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not so, because if you're not chastened of God, you're bastards and not sons.
That's right.
That's what your Bible teaches you.
Says, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's people that think they can go out and commit fornication. There's people that think they can go out and live a lifestyle of idolatry and they get by with it. There's people that think they can go out and live any way they want to and they think they're saved. You mark this one thing down, my friend. You've never been saved by Jesus Christ from your sin. Because you cannot live in sin and get by. That's not my doctrine. That's just the doctrine of this Bible. You know, I could go through the list of all the scriptures the Bible says, and you have been quickened who are dead in trespasses and in sins. Wherefore, in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In times past, you had your conversations in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But he said those were in times past. Ladies and gentlemen, he goes over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. He goes down the list of fornication and adulteries and all those things. And he says, such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Ladies and gentlemen, you mark this one thing down for sure tonight, that if you live a lifestyle of sin and God does not chasten you and God does not take you out to the woodshed and beat you and get you right in fellowship with him, you're bastards and not sons.
Amen.
But the Bible says, you've never been born again.
Amen.
Never been washed in the blood.
That's right.
In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 24, he said this. Dad, I want you to get a pot. And he gave a parable to the rebellious house. That's what I want to deal with, rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of root witchcraft. Right. And stubbornness is as idolatry. We live in a rebellious society
right.
that does not want to obey the commandments of God's book. And they openly rebel. And even church kids openly rebel. Church right. members openly rebel.
Right.
And they do not care about what this Bible says.
Right.
He said, I want you to get a pot. Set it on. Pour water into it. Gather the pieces thereof, the thigh, filled with the choice bones. I want you to take wood. I want you to take the bones. And I want you to put it underneath the fire. And I want you to set the fire on hot. And I want you to make that water boil on all the meat that's in it. Let the thigh, the shoulder, the choice bones, let the choice of the flock be burned inside that pot. Let it boil. Why? So the scum can rise to the top.
Right.
And there's different refiners that you hear of where they go to refine gold and they'll put the gold in the pot and they'll heat it up and melt it and all the impure metals will rise to the top and they'll skim it off. That's what God's trying to tell these people. I'm going to turn the fire up and I'm going to try to get the the scum out of your life.
Oh,
that's what God wants to do. He wants to get the scum out of your life. God's trying his best to get the wickedness and the lewdness and the fornication and the idolatry and all the things that come in people's lives. He wants it out of their lives.
Christ.
He said, I'm going to put it underneath the fire and let it boil that the scum may come out of it. Then he gave this parable. He said, they left their blood upon the top of the rock that it should not be covered. They poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust. He said that his fury would come because of it. His anger would come because of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we see people in our churches that they leave their sin exposed before a holy God.
Right.
They go on living in their sin, refusing to confess their sins to God. Ladies and gentlemen, the best thing that you can do is when you go to pray, don't try to act like you're going to fool God with how spiritual you are. He knows exactly what's in your heart. The best thing that you can do when you go down to pray is begin to tell God the honest truth about what's in your heart, how you really feel about Him, how you really feel about His commandments. So that God can at least do something with your life. God can at least begin to do a work there. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of people that go around with their sins uncovered. They haven't got their sins covered by Jesus Christ. They're church people. He said if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's some people that just go on and on, day after day, week after week, with their unconfessed sins. They refuse to get it right with God because they take pleasure in it. And God's saying, I'm going to put you in the pot. And I'm going to boil the scum out of your life. And ladies and gentlemen, when this parable was given, He said on this very day, on this very month, on this very hour, the king Nebuchadnezzar's army was surrounded Jerusalem. And when they surrounded Jerusalem, He did that because He sent the sword to take care of Israel. The king of Babylon, ladies and gentlemen, took care of Israel. But what famine didn't get in Israel, God sent famine, and famine didn't get them right. What famine didn't get, God sent pestilence. And what pestilence didn't get, He sent Nebuchadnezzar's army to surround Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, they surrounded Jerusalem. They took control of them. Ladies and gentlemen, He said, I have purged thee and thou wast not purged. Neither should thou be purged from thy filthiness anymore. The book of Isaiah chapter 1, He said, hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Why? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart's faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, they've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. He said, your country's desolate. Your cities are burning with fire. Your land, strangers devour in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage and a vineyard, as a lodge and a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. That's what He said. Well, what is that cottage and a vineyard and all that? Here you find a cottage that's sitting in a vineyard. And you look at a vineyard, ladies and gentlemen, those vines just completely take over all of it. They'll take over the cottage. They'll take off. You look at a garden of cucumbers. There's a lodge in a garden of cucumbers. You watch those vines from the cucumber as they begin to take over everything, ladies and gentlemen. That's what He's trying to show. That God will allow things to come in your life to chastise you. But if chastisement will not get you, Bible says that He turned them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. Brother Timmy Bay, he talked about it at a church in Winston-Salem. He said we are hid with Christ in God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where you stand if you're saved, if you've ever been born again, and you're in fellowship with God, you're hid with Christ in God. So if Satan's going to get to you, he's going to have to come through Jesus Christ. He's going to have to come through God. But if you're out of fellowship with God, you're just out here. Somewhere. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil can get to you.
Help us.
The devil can do things in your life.
Yeah, help us. Yes, sir.
You look in the life of David, great man of God, man after
after God's own heart, served the Lord, and sung praises to God. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the man after God's own heart. The man that slew Goliath in the valley. Here's the man, ladies and gentlemen, when he slew Goliath, the people were singing in the streets that Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. You remember David, how he never really talked much about Goliath, but he would go back, you know, when he was out there in the wilderness tending to his father's sheep, and he slew a lion and a bear with his own bare hands, and he killed them. That same David did it under the power of God. Whenever Saul tried to hand him his armor and Saul tried to hand him his sword, and David put all of it on, he took it off and he said, "This battle is not for me. This is for the Lord to take care of." And he went out there and got 5 smooth stones and killed Goliath. Same David fell in sin and committed sin with Bathsheba and committed adultery. Same David, ladies and gentlemen, had Bathsheba's husband sent out there on the front lines and slaughtered. Because he rebelled against God, ladies and gentlemen, you know, he went on his merry way and thought that he was going to get by with it. He had it covered up. Oh, nobody knew anything about it, but God knew something about it. And one day Nathan came by, David, the prophet Nathan, and he said this parable about a man that had all this, I believe it was a bunch of sheep, but he took another man's sheep and had that man killed. And David was like, "Where's that man at? I'm going to find him, and we're going to take care of it. We're going to have this man put to death." Nathan looked at him and said, "David, thou art the man."
Yes, he did.
That's what he said.
Right.
Whenever he said that, ladies and gentlemen, you can look down the life of David. Look at his children. Oh, he may not have lost all the palace. He may not have lost everything. But his son Absalom came up against him and tried to overthrow him and take control over Israel. You look at his, one of his sons raped his daughter, and his daughter, I believe, was killed. He had children that were killed, and then his son with Bathsheba died. Look at all the judgment that came upon him, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because he said, "The sword shall never leave thy house." Ladies and gentlemen, it may be that you can get forgiveness of things and so on and so forth. But if you rebel against God so much, God may just pass his judgment on you. And he said, "I'll not back up. I'll not repent. Because of thy ways and according to thy doing shall it judge thee, saith the Lord God." He's not going to back up on his judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, because you rebel against God, there's something that you're going to face. You will reap what you sow. Because you get by with it now, ladies and gentlemen, don't think that you're just going to continue getting by with it. You read the book of Psalms, chapter 51. I'm going to go there. Book of Psalms, chapter 51. He said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of people that are telling our young people in this generation that it's okay to go out there and commit fornication. Let me tell you something. You will pay for it in this life. You go out and commit fornication, you are going to pay for it in this life. You mark that one thing down. One of my best friends in high school lost his purity when he was about 15 years old. Lost it to some girl. Well, they ended up, because the parents had a disagreement and everything, they had to break that relationship up. Well, my friend, he laid on his bed for weeks on end, just crying and crying and crying. I'm talking about a boy. Most people just think that it's girls. He laid there crying. After he had enough and he just didn't want to live anymore, he took about 32 Tylenol and he overdosed, tried to kill himself, and they had to take him to the hospital and pump his stomach. And after that, he still had problems. They had to deal with him psychologically and all these other things because of it. I've known people, ladies and gentlemen, they think, you know, whenever you're young, that it's okay to have this mindset that I can have this girl and that girl, and you know, I could just be cheating on all these girls at the same time, and I could just be full of lust in my heart. Whenever you get married one of these days, you're going to deal with it, buddy. And let me tell you something. I know people that have that mindset, and I want I watched one person that I know, they had this one girl they were talking to, and they had another girl they were talking to, and the guy invited them to come to one place, and he ended up telling another girl that he wasn't going to be able to make it, but she came anyhow. Everybody laughed at him, thought it was cute, thought it was funny. I'll tell you where he's at today. Every girl that he sees, he has a lust problem with him, and he can't control his lust. Why? Because society said you have to be full of lust, and society says that nakedness is okay, and society says you got to go out and commit fornication. God says you're going to pay for it.
That's right.
I'll tell you, I know testimonies of people when after they get married, they've committed fornication after they've gotten married and all this stuff. And you know, all that's done, all that's gone. Years have gone by. They have dreams of those girls that they lost their purity with.
Try. Yes, sir.
You'll never forget the smell. They never forget what it was like, and they never forget that person. And day after day, even married to another person, they think about that.
That's right.
Why? Because you've committed fornication. The Bible says he that committed fornication, he sinneth against his own body. You know, everybody talks about defiling the temple of the Holy Ghost and all that stuff. And, you know, getting tattoos, drinking Pepsi, you know, all this different stuff. Drinking coffee, you're defiling the temple because you're destroying your body. No, destroying the temple of God is committing fornication. And it does affect your body and it does affect your mind. Ladies and gentlemen, you will pay for it one of these days. I know people that have rebelled against their parents, rebelled against mom and dad, whose lives are destroyed. I know people that have gone out and they've wanted to taste what beer is like, and they've gone out and get drunk, and now they're hooked on beer and they can't live without it. I know people that have got hooked on drugs. I know guys that I went to high school with, they wanted to try marijuana, and then that wasn't good enough. They wanted to get on cocaine, and today they're strung out on cocaine. Their lives are destroyed. They have illegitimate children. I know a girl that I went to school with, on her first time, she lost her purity. The first time she did, she went to a party. She got drunk, and some boy with an STD got her pregnant and gave her an STD. Whenever she'd walk into the cafeteria, people would clap at her and make fun of her. I remember that, friend. Why? Because of sin against God. Going over the line of God, rebelling against the commandments of God. Let me tell you something. You will pay for it in this life. And you will pay for it in eternity. You look at the life of Samson. Strong, mighty Samson had power with God. Laid his head in the lap of Delilah. I'm talking about a man that could tie, how many foxes' tails together? How many foxes was it? Tie hundreds of foxes' tails together. Same man that could take the whole entire Philistine army on by himself. He took the gates upon his shoulders and would walk up a hill with the gates of the city on his shoulders. Man, I had power that was given to him by God. Laid his head in the lap of Delilah and sinned against God. I'm not talking about some man that's just some lost person. I'm talking about a man that was a man from God.
Sure.
Had power with God.
Sure.
He laid his head in the lap of Delilah and sinned against a holy God. And you know, had his hair cut off, lost his power with God. You know what he said? I'm just going to shake it off this time, like I have before. He said, I've done this before. I'm just going to shake it off like I've done it before. Everything's going to be all right. Guess what? This time he lost the power with God. He was given over to the enemy.
Right.
That's what happened.
Yes, sir.
God will allow you to go over to Satan for the destruction of your flesh.
Right.
That your spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Samson did? He ground day and night at the enemy's meal. At the enemy's meal, working and slaving. Had his eyes plucked out. Lost his vision that he could not see.
Yes, sir.
Later on, you know, he came back and everything else and had those pillars tied to him and made the building collapse and all that. Samson grinded at the enemy's meal. Why? Because of sin against God.
That's right.
God has never taken pleasure in sin. Never. Ever since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they sinned against God, God went into the Garden of Eden and he said, Adam, where art thou? Is that because God don't know? God wouldn't know where Adam was? No, it's because of his nakedness. Because he was sinned against God. God, and you think about it, it wasn't 10 sins that damned the entire human race. It wasn't 15, it wasn't even 5. One sin against God is the reason why you're going to die. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, therefore death is passed unto all men. Let me tell you something. This music that these teenagers are listening to and some of these adults are listening to that's filled with a bunch of whoremongers and, you know, they're telling our kids to be a, you know, even today I was flipping through the channels. I do it occasionally to try to find somebody that's preaching the gospel on the radio. There's been times I've traveled and flipping through the channel and I heard a song about a woman that's a lesbian talking about another woman keeping her warm. What our teenagers are listening to in America.
Yeah.
And you have these little rappers out there. Most of these rappers are a bunch of sodomites anyways. They really are.
Yeah.
Little Wayne, he's a little sodomite. And you go down the list of all the rest of them, they're a bunch of sodomites. And they're telling our kids to be a bunch of whoremongers. And ladies and gentlemen, we're pumping in our kids' minds that it's okay to be a dope head. It's okay to be a drunk. It's okay to be a whoremonger and a harlot. And it's okay to have the wrong mentality about women and men.
Right.
And that's exactly what they're pumping in our young people. You ought to esteem girls better than yourself, ladies and gentlemen. You ought to treat a girl like she's your sister. And girls, you ought to treat a boy like he's your brother. That's what the Bible teaches us. But this mentality of the world today has told our children that you ought to be little opposite sex. They're nothing more than just a piece of meat that you can throw out on the side when you're done with them. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We're pumping it in our minds. Our children are getting full of it and they're having illegitimate children. And they're not even taking care of their kids. I have people in my own family that's like that.
Right.
This country music, ladies and gentlemen, is pumping it in our young people.
Right.
Be a drunk. Be a dopehead. Be a drunk.
Right.
One of the biggest country music singers in country music right now is from down the road where me and Amber live. Ladies and gentlemen, he grew up in a town where they absolutely had no alcohol, but the only thing he sings about is getting drunk.
Right.
Talks about getting drunk, but he grew up in a county where they didn't even have alcohol. Ladies and gentlemen, he pumps at these colleges, goes to these colleges campuses, and tells these kids to get drunk. And, you know, he'll sing songs about Jesus, mix Jesus and getting drunk and everything else, about how he drank a beer with Jesus and all this different stuff. It's an abomination to God.
Yes.
Abomination to God. I'm talking about all this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. These country songs nowadays are all about committing fornication, and they teach girls that, you know, how to find some love that doesn't really exist. It's a bunch of stupidity anyways.
Yeah.
Some Hollywood mentality of love, and we've lost what love really is about. Ladies and gentlemen, I wake up in the morning, every morning, I don't always feel like waking up in the morning looking at my wife and telling you I love you more than everything in this world, because everything's not always easy.
That's right.
Everything's not always, you know, a starlit sky with a moon just right, and everything's just going your way, and you know everything. Sometimes things get hard.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? You know what real love is? When everything's going against you and everything seems to be going bad, that you'll still love your wife, that you'll still stay with your kids, and you'll still be faithful, whether or not you feel like it or not. That's what real love's all about. That's what charity is, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we need in society. I'm telling you, this society has pumped a bunch of rebellion and stubbornness, a rebellion against the police officers, rebellion against authority, rebellion against the government, rebellion against God, rebellion against mom and dad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you rebel against mom and dad, the Bible says that if you dishonor them, your days will be shortened.
That's right.
But if you obey, then your days will be lengthened. Let me tell you something today. We are raising a generation of people that have been rebellious against God, against authority, against moms and dads, against the church, against everybody else. Ladies and gentlemen, they don't feel like they have to submit to anybody because that's what's being pumped into their head. Through this music. You wonder why I have such a problem with all this music? It's because I've seen people's lives. Because they're influenced by this wicked and ungodly music.
Amen.
And it becomes the culture. You look at white communities and little country communities that listen to country music. You look at their lifestyle. I grew up in a country community. Most of the boys were drunks. Most of the boys were dope heads. You go to African-American or black communities in the United States of America, they listen to rap music. And they have illegitimate children, and they hate the police and all this stuff because Tupac and all those other guys told them to hate them.
Right.
So the mentality that they've been given.
That's right.
It's the culture that they have because of the music, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you something. You may think that you're getting by with your rebellion against God now, but one of these days you're going to reap what you sow. Your sins are going to hunt you down one of these days, and you're going to have to give an account for what you've done, whether in this life or whether in the life to come. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved by the grace of God, you will endure chastisement. If you'll not obey the chastening hand of God, if you'll not get your heart right with God, there is a sin unto death.
That's right.
God will allow you to die prematurely. Ladies and gentlemen, there's lost people that are rebellious against the Holy Ghost, against the laws of God. The average preacher today has told us, I was talking to Brother Dale last night about it, the average church today has told us that these laws in the Bible are not important.
That's right.
And they told us that the law of God doesn't matter. And ladies and gentlemen, they created a culture of people because of the church that you go out there and tell them that they need Jesus Christ. You tell them that they're a sinner. They won't have anything to do with it.
That's right.
Yeah. Because everybody's just as wicked as I am. I don't need Jesus Christ because everybody's just as wicked as me. I'm not wicked. You believe the law. We're all under grace. Let me tell you something. If you're lost, you're under the law of God and you're condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. The Bible says that a man is under the law as long as he liveth. That's what it says over in the book of Romans. He's under the law as long as he liveth. But if he talks about the husband and the wife, but if her husband dies, she'd be free to marry another. Jesus Christ died. Therefore, we've been given over to grace. We're no longer under law, but under grace. But if you are lost, you are still under the law of God. The law of God condemns you. The law of God is your schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. The law of God is pure, converting the soul. And the law of God, ladies and gentlemen, will make your sin appear exceeding sinful.
Amen.
Some people reject the laws of God.
Right.
You wonder why the rich man died and went to hell? Because he rejected these laws.
He talks
about it. He said, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. He said, nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. One did rise again from the dead. His name's Jesus Christ, and they still won't repent.
That's right.
Amen.
They've been given Moses. They've been given the prophets, ladies and gentlemen. And the law of God shows you that you're lost. The law of God says, thou shalt not kill. And he that hateth his brother is a murderer. And we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The Bible teaches us to honor your father and mother. But yet you go on in rebellion against the laws of God. You rebel against mom and dad. You don't care about the authority that God's put in your life. You don't care about the authority that God has put you underneath. And you rebel against it and you dishonor mom and dad.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've rebelled against the law of God. He said, thou shalt not steal. Yet we steal. He said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Yet you bear false witness against your neighbor. That's what he said. Those are the laws of God. The law of God is your schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you rebel against the law of God. You rebel against the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost shows you that you're a sinner.
Amen. Yes.
All these preachers do a good job of doing it themselves whenever somebody's lost. And they're beginning to see it. That 1 Samuel, or whatever he read, stuck out to me. And it blew my mind because I really seen it after he read it. That it's the voice of God and he couldn't perceive it. He couldn't perceive that was the voice of Almighty God. And he went in to the priest and asked him, were you calling for me? No. It's the voice of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of preachers that are trying to grieve the Holy Ghost, trying to quench the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever God's dealing with somebody's heart, they'll run to them and they'll tell them that you prayed that prayer, you remember what you prayed, you remember what you asked Jesus to do, and as long as you believe that prayer, and they're believing in a prayer, and they're not believing in Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, they're not believing in Jesus. God shows them through the law of God that they don't have real peace.
Amen.
They don't have real deep settling peace. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have deep settling peace in your soul and you don't have 100% assurance, like Abraham when he said he staggered not the promise of God, unbelief, but with strong in faith, giving glory to God, he staggered not the promise of God.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't go back and forth one day. You know what staggering is? It's like a drunken man. He reels to and fro and he goes back and forth. And he reels to and fro, bouncing back and forth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what lost people do. They reel to and fro. They don't have deep, settled peace. They don't have 100% assurance. Jesus Christ gives assurance. You can't make it up in your mind. You can't psychologically put it there. You can't put it there yourself. Your mom and dad can't put it there. Your preacher can't put it there. The Holy Ghost has to come in, and he puts it in there. That's who puts it there. Ladies and gentlemen, God has to put that assurance there. God has to put the faith there.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you rebelling against God? You're rebelling against God. Have you rejected the commandments of God? Have you rejected the call of God? Have you rejected the call of God? There's people that God are calling. Are you going to harden your neck and stiffen it against God? Are you going to rebel against the call of God, ladies and gentlemen? God's still with you. You better respond. Because God, ladies and gentlemen, can cut you off, and he has the right to do it. He has the right to cut you off. Because his son died, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ died one day on a cross. And he shed his blood. And he cried out there on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? What it says. Why hast thou forsaken me? Because God turned his back on sin. Jesus became the deep, dark crevices of your heart and all the filth and all the wickedness that's in there, all the ungodliness that's piled up in your heart. God became all that, and he was put on the cross, and he died, and he suffered in hell. And I know Baptist preachers, they don't believe it. Most of them don't. That's Jesus right. Christ went to hell, but he said that he would go into the lower parts of the earth. That's what he said. That's more than one place. And he said about it, over the book of Acts chapter 2, he said, thou will not leave my soul in hell. Thou will not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. How did he get the keys of death and of hell unless he went there, ladies and gentlemen? But now he's resurrected from the dead, and he has the keys of death and of hell in his hands. And he is the resurrected Savior, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the reason why we can have life, and that's the reason why you can be changed. That's the reason why you don't have to live in sin. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. Ladies and gentlemen, I preached on rebellion, but God can give you mercy. You don't have to face the chastening hand of God. You don't have to go out there and let your life get wrecked and ruined. You don't have to go out there and raise a family of illegitimate children and have children grow up that are a bunch of sodomites and rebellious and everything else. You don't have to have all that go on. You can do it right. You can grow up with a family and do things right. Have a wife and have kids and raise them in church and raise them for God and have a good clean home. You can do that.
Amen.
You can. Oh, thank God for it. I look at people, I thank God for his mercy on my life. God's allowed me, and I believe that I try to do it the best way and to do it right. Ladies and gentlemen, God has blessed it. I look at some of these people's lives. I have cousins, I have family members that have illegitimate children because they wanted to rebel. I'm talking about people that grew up in church. Rebelled against the things of God. Now they have two or three kids. They've not been married yet. And their life is wrecked in turmoil, and they cuss and they fight and they complain and they're mad and they're bitter and everything that goes on with it, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because they rebelled against God's holy word. Submit yourselves to the Lord. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. He will exalt you. He said, a broken and a contrite heart thou will not despise. And he said, humble yourselves before God. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. He will lift you. You don't have to lift yourself up. He'll lift you up. Whenever he lifts you up, he'll put you on the solid rock, ladies and gentlemen. He'll put you on the solid rock, and he'll establish your steps. He'll establish your goings, and he'll give you direction for life, and he'll give you life everlasting.
Amen.
Put your home together. There was a man in the Bible, and I'm done with this. He built his house upon the sand. There was a man in the Bible that built his house upon the rock. And Jesus said the man that built his house upon the sand was like a man that heard the word of God. He heard it, but he didn't obey it. When the storms came and the winds blew, his house was destroyed, and great was the fall of it, the Bible says. There was a man that built his house upon the rock. Jesus said, that man is like to the man that heard these words, and obeyed. His house was built upon a rock. The storm came and the winds blew, and the house stayed together.
Amen.
The house stayed together.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to come a time in your life, especially as a teenager, that you're going to have to settle some things in your heart. I had to do it. I had to settle some things in my heart that I was going to get in this Bible, that I was going to obey this Bible, and that I was going to pray, and that I was going to seek after God. I had to settle it in my heart that I was going to get a hold of God. Let me tell you something. It's been the best journey that I've ever had. It's been the best life that I've ever had.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to settle some things in your heart. You need to get a hold of this book, and you need to read it, and you need to obey it, and you need to listen to it. Allow God to have control of your life, ladies and gentlemen, because you'll be like a man that built his house upon the sand. Your life will end up in destruction and ruin and emptiness and vanity, void, emptiness. But if you'll build your life upon this, God will give you satisfaction. God will give you a life worth living. And God will give you a life of stability. I'm done.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.